Amen. We're going today to the book of Colossians, chapter 3. And guess what? We have some wonderful pies baked by Sister Betty Flatt. Anybody ever had a Sister Flatt pie? Oh, well, I'm sorry. That's not fair now. That is not fair. Somebody told my mom one time, she baked a cake when an evangelist in the, I guess it was here in Athens, as a matter of fact. And after the service, the evangelist told my wife, I mean my mother, after he heard she baked the cake, the pie, he said, "Sister, that was the most dangerous pie I ever ate." And she said, "What do you mean?" He said, "If I would have got a lick of that on my, drop that on my forehead, I would have licked my brains out trying to get it off." Now that is a good pie. Amen. So Sister Betty Flatt, she bakes wonderful pies, and I'm sorry, folks, they're gone. I was told to announce it. I announced it just too late. Thank you, Sister Flatt. God bless you. Amen. Let me ask you a question. Why are you here? Thank you. Amen. That's what we're going to talk about today. Why are you here? Amen. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, 17. The scripture said, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and to the Father by Him." Amen. Why are we here? Praise God. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. People come to church for different reasons. Lots of reasons. One of the reasons people come to church is personal benefit. I think probably the primary reason is because you get something out of it. Hopefully you leave feeling better than when you came. Amen. Praise God. So we come to church for a lot of reasons. We came to church yesterday to build a building. Did anybody notice? Aren't you thankful for the Pentecostal Pavilion? Amen. Thanks to Brother Bubba Bacon. And he did so much work on this. And Brother Jason McLeod and many others that helped. Brother Mike McLeod had a hand in it. And all of those that came yesterday and helped us, thank you so very much. Amen. I appreciate it. And I think the church really ought to give you a hand for your work you did today. God bless you so very, very much. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. So we come to church for all kinds of reasons. Amen. We come to church to socialize. That's okay, isn't it? Amen. I know people come to church to find a wife or a husband. That's not a bad thing. Let me just say this. This is the best place you can find one. But you be sure you're qualified to apply. Don't you come in here from out of the world trying to drag one out of here. Amen. All right, but if you come with the right motive, this is the best place to find a mate you're ever going to find. Amen. I used to hear people say, tell them, Bible college is nothing but a place that people go to get married. Well, so what? I found a real good one there. The best in the world. Amen. Nothing wrong with that. Praise God. It's all right, isn't it? Praise God. Amen. Hey, so there's nothing wrong with coming to church to socialize while we're here. It's all right. Some people come to church because they have to. I went through that phase. In my house, our house was very undemocratic. We didn't get to vote. If it was Sunday morning, you're going to church. If it was Sunday night, you're going to church. If it was Wednesday night, you're going to church. It was not democratic. Amen. It was autocratic. That's just the way it was. Amen. And I told you, I got delivered from drugs going to church. Because they used to drag me to church Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. Amen. But then I got the Holy Ghost and I got the want to. Praise the Lord. Amen. I wanted to go on Sunday morning. I wanted to go on Sunday night. I wanted to go on Wednesday. I wanted to go on Saturday visitation. I wanted to go on work day. I wanted to go for peanut brittle. I wanted to go. Anything happened at church, I wanted to be there. And may God resurrect that spirit in the church. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. I just think if something's going on in the church, I just ought to be there. I draw the line at ladies' meetings. Amen. I just think that ought to be up to the ladies. But pretty much everything else, you know, I just like to be a part of it. Amen. That's always been that way. I just like it. Amen. I just enjoy being around the house of the Lord. But some people come out of obligation. That's okay for a time. Amen. But then you just got to learn to... Somebody told me something one time I didn't like much. Lady told me, she said, going to church is a habit. And I said, well, you're right. But it's a good habit. Not going to church is a habit. Missing church when you want to is a habit. Watch it, Brother Grissom. You're getting sticky now. Amen. Getting to church late's a habit. Getting to church on time's a habit. Getting to church early's a habit. Going to the prayer room's a habit. Amen. There's just a lot of good habits in there. And there's some bad habits. Somebody said the best way to break a habit is to drop it. Amen. That'll break them every time. Amen. All right. So it's a privilege to come. Some people, I go to church because I like the music. I like the singing. And somebody said, I go to church because I like the preaching. Amen. Somebody said, I go to church because it makes me sleep. Somebody said, preaching is the art of talking in someone else's sleep. And that may be true. Amen. Preaching may be either musing or amusing. The word muse means to think on. The word amuse, when you put an A in front of it, means not to think. So some preaching makes you think and some preaching makes you not think. Amen. I'd like to be more in the musing than the amusing. You ever been to an amusement park? That means you don't think while you're there. If you thought about it, you wouldn't get on some of those rides. Amen. All right. So preaching, some people just go to church, they want to hear preaching. All those are legitimate reasons to be in church. Every one of them. Amen. Their preferences about church. Everybody has an opinion about how to have church. Some people says, well, you know, I think we need to... Now, let me just say, we get critical sometimes of other churches because of their rituals, but Pentecostals have rituals. We have traditions. Yes, we do. And some people never want to change that. It's got to be this way every time. Amen. And you get out of that order and some folks get their feathers ruffled a little bit. Amen. Because you just... Well, that's not how you have church. Amen. Well, you can have church in different ways. Doesn't always have to be the same way. Amen. One of these days I may just come out of the office snorting and ready to preach and just do it. And not sing a song till we get through. You never know. Amen. And just how we decide to have church, it's going to be all right, folks. As long as we're here for the right reason and we're getting there quick as we can. Amen. People have different ideas about the kind of music we ought to have in the church. Some people just want to sing just the same hymns, and that's it, nothing else. I want any hers. I never have really figured that out, but anyway. They just want the same songs, amen. And anything that's not what we've been singing for the last 50 years is just the devil's music. I disagree. I disagree. Amen. Different groups like different kinds of music, folks. And just because somebody likes something a little different than you does not make them unspiritual and does not make them demonic. Hello. That's good, Brother Grissom. I don't like it, but that's good anyhow. Tell me about it. Praise God. Amen. There are certain songs that I like, and I've heard people call that... I'm not going to say that. But they criticize some of the songs I like because it's not Pentecostal enough for them. Amen. That's all right. You know what I like? And I'll tell you the things that I like in songs. Number one, I like it to say something. I don't like 7-Eleven songs. It's got seven words and you repeat them 11 times. Unless those seven words mean something. I mean, there's some songs I just don't get much out of. And I'm sorry, I'm just that way. I like songs to be theologically correct. I've mentioned this before, and please don't shoot me down for this. It's just an opinion. You can have one too. Amen. But the song, Let's All Go Down to the River, that bothers me. I can't sing that song with a good conscience because he's not walking on the river. He walked on the sea. It's theologically incorrect. I do my best to get my mind around that, and I have the hardest time. Amen. I know it's exciting. It's a good song and all of that, but I just have a hard time singing it because I'm singing, he didn't go to the river. It's on the sea, not the river. Amen. So I have a hard time with that song. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. And other songs. And some of them are good. There are some songs sometimes that mean one thing to you, but something else to somebody else. Now, we need to be careful about music because people that come into the church out of the world have a different connotation about some of the songs we sing. And we get to singing some songs that we like, and because our mind's pure, we know what it means to us. But we start singing it, and they hear the words, and their mind's not like your mind because they come from a different background. And they're like, what in the world are you people singing? So music, first of all, it needs to glorify Jesus Christ. It needs to be theologically correct. Amen. Praise God. I'm sorry. I might as well unload here a little bit. I didn't intend to do this, but I will while I'm here. Amen. Now, I'm a country boy. I am. But I have a little bit of problem singing Ain't God Good. Because I know that's incorrect. Amen. And so I modify that. Now, you go ahead and sing that if you want to. It won't offend me. But I ain't going to do it. No. Amen. You see what I'm saying? There are just some things. And these are personal things, see. Amen. Just still personal things that I have. And I like that song, by the way. I just changed that one word, and I'm just as happy as I can be singing it. Amen. Praise God. I change words all the time. That's my wife. She hates to sing with me. Because she'll sing the right word, and I'll sing the wrong word, and I can just slip in there so smooth, people think she's doing the wrong word. Amen. But I like singing, and singing is good, but we like different styles. So, hey, folks, we're going to sing some different styles. We're going to learn some new songs. Some people, but I don't know those songs. Well, learn them. You didn't know any till you learned them. They were all new until you learned them. Amen. And I don't think we need to sing all new songs either. We need to mix it up, learn some new ones, but preserve some of those good ones. Some of them we need to let die, bury them deep, so they never resurrect. Amen. But the ones that are good, let's resurrect those, but let's sing them unto the Lord. But we have different ideas about the music we like in church, isn't that right? Amen. Some people want shorter sermons. Thank you. There's a bold man there. And very few people want longer sermons. Every now and then, somebody says, Brother Grissom, I didn't want you to quit. I love those people. I'm sorry, but they're my favorites. No, not really. I understand how that is. Amen. But everybody has opinions, right? Even about prayer. A guy by the name of, what was his name? His name was Sam Walter Foss. He wrote this. He said, the proper way for a man to pray, said Deacon Lemuel Keyes, and the only proper attitude is down upon his knees. No, I should say the proper way to pray, said Reverend Dr. Wise, is standing straight with outstretched arms and rapt and upturned eyes. Oh, no, 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 said Elder Snow. Such posture is too proud. A man should pray with eyes fast closed and head contritely bowed. It seems to me his hands should be austerely clasped in front with both thumbs pointing toward the ground, said Reverend Dr. Blunt. Last year I fell in Hidgkin's well head first, said Cyrus Brown. With both my heels a-sticking up and my head a-pointing down, I made a prayer right then and there, the best prayer I ever said, the prayingest prayer I ever prayed, a-standing on my head. You know what? He had it right on. Because I can promise you Cyrus Brown's prayer was both sincere and urgent. He wasn't worried about which way his thumbs were pointing. He wasn't worried about whether he was on his knees or standing. He was just concerned about getting out of the well. Amen. Praise God. And so worship, first of all, needs to be sincere. And it needs to be urgent. Praise God. It needs to be heartfelt. It needs to rise out of the inside of you and pour forth with an urgency and with a sincere force. Amen. That's what prayer has to do. That's what worship has to do. I learned something interesting today that I never really thought about before. I was looking at the word worship and trying to go back to the original language and figure out a little bit about it. It's made up of two words. The first being pro. That means forward direction. And do you know what the second part the word for worship is? It's kuon, which is the word for dog. Strange, huh? Now, if you're a dog lover, you'll get this. Amen. The closest thing you'll get to being worshipped on the earth is to have a dog that loves you. I love my wife, but she doesn't wiggle and squirm and jump up and down when I come in the house. But I have a little old Boston Terrier that don't have a tail, but she'll shake everything else. And she jumps up and down and she runs around and she barks and her little eyes are just liquid love. Amen. And she'll get just as close to me, and then I'll sit down in the chair. She's going to jump right up in my lap and sit real close to me. She's afraid of storms, so when storms come, if I want to sleep, I have to let her get in the bed with us, because otherwise she'll whine and all night and keep me up. And when you get in bed, she'll get just as close to you as she can possibly get. And if you move over a little bit, she'll move over a little bit. And if you get up to go somewhere, when you come back, she'll be laying on your spot. And if you leave the door open, she'll be laying on your pillow because she smells you there. And when you're not there, she wants to get just as close to you as she can. You see, what am I saying? I'm saying that there's a devotion and there's a love there. And it doesn't call much. I have to do a whole lot to deserve that. I just put food in a dish and water in a bowl and pat her on the head every now and then. That's all it takes. Isn't that amazing? To get that kind of devotion and that kind of love from an animal. And so worship, you see, the motive is and I'm not calling anybody dog here today, but you see, our motive is that there's that urgency in us and that outpouring of love and devotion to Jesus Christ. Amen. There's just something that just pours forth out of you. Amen. It wants to be close to Him. It desires to be close to Him. And when it gets into His presence, it reacts. It can't just lay there. Amen. It has to react. I don't know if you've ever seen a dog pout. You ever had a pouting dog? But even a pouting dog cannot control all of its emotion. You know, you hurt a dog's feelings and it'll lay there. But if it has a tail, you walk by and it starts giving itself away. That tail will start wagging even though the eyes are down. Amen. And they're just pouting. They don't want you to know, but their tail's just beating. They're letting you know, I'm mad at you, but I love you. Amen. Praise God. Worship, it's that sense that when it gets in the presence of God, there's a response. Amen. You can't help it. Now, I know people show it different ways, and I do my best not to be a cheerleader and tell people how to worship. I don't like people telling me how to worship. I'll just be honest. Amen. I just sometimes I get aggravated with people telling me. because I'm worshiping, and I'm really worshiping God. And about that time, they'll say, now sit down, stand up, raise your hands, clap your hands, stand on your head, do something, gargle. Some, you know, every 15 seconds, they're giving me a new command. Just shut up and let me worship God. I know how. Amen. Praise God. But I'm on the other side of the coin. I know what it's like to be on this side, and people sitting out there like a bump on a pickle. Amen. When there's worship, there's a response to the presence of God. Amen. And the primary reason, the number one reason that we come here, and the reason that we are here, is to worship God. Now, you may do that in different ways. Not everybody does it the same. Some people are more demonstrative than other people. I mean, some people like to shout. Some people like to run. Some people like to get out in the aisle. Other people like to weep. Some people just like to think. Everybody has a different response. But the thing is, respond to the presence of God. That's why you're here. Amen. And let everybody respond as they respond. Now hear me today. Don't quench it. If you're a shouter and you're trying to be a thinker, let go and shout. Amen. Praise God. Just go ahead and let it happen. Amen. If you're a runner, run. Praise God. If you're a shouter, shout. If you're a weeper, weep. If you're a laugher, laugh. But do something to respond to the presence of God. That's why we're here. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's why we're in His presence. The Bible said, give unto Him the glory that is due unto His name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. He's our Creator. He has made us and not we ourselves. He sustains us. We are the sheep of His pasture. He leads us beside still waters. He makes us to lie down in green pastures. Amen. And He makes a table before us in the presence of our enemies. And His rod and His staff, they comfort me. He leads us and guides us and takes care of us and sustains us in day-to-day life. Hallelujah. Praise God. And He redeemed us. When we were lost, the Bible said we were dead in trespasses and in sins. But He quickened us. He made us alive again. Praise God. That's redemption. Hallelujah. That's why we should praise Him. That's why we're here. Hallelujah. Anybody remember the old song we used to sing? Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. It makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. And it's good enough for me. That's what it does, folks. You see, you get in the presence of God, it makes you love one another. Hallelujah. The Bible said the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Amen. And when you get to feeling the love of God, you can't help but love others. Amen. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples. Why? Because you have love one for another. Hallelujah. In the book of 1 John chapter 4 verse 7 and 8, John said, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Amen. You see, when you get in the presence of God, it's going to make you love one another. Thank you, brother. Amen. Hallelujah. It'll help you work out your differences. It'll help you solve your problems. Amen. Praise God. It makes us love one another, doesn't it? That's why we're here. That's why we're here. Praise God. So the Spirit of God working in our midst. What did the Scripture say about burdens. It said, bear ye one another's burdens. Amen. You know, it's beautiful to see that. I watch sometimes in a service and the Holy Ghost is moving and people start, without anybody telling them to, they just start praying for one another. I like that. People come down here for prayer, and some of you, without anybody asking you to, you just come down here and you pray with them. Somebody down here in the altar after service, and nobody asks you to, but you just slip over and you begin to pray with them. Amen. What are you doing? You're sharing one another's burdens. Amen. And that's the work of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Praise God. It helps us to bear one another's burdens, and that's what it's supposed to do. Amen. This, when we get into the spirit of worship, it creates unity. Unity. Amen. We didn't talk much about this in the lesson this morning, but you know, the body is very different, and yet there's unity in the body. Every part of the body is very different, has different functions, does different things, even made out of different kinds of tissue. But every part plays an important role. Some of them are quite visual, like my nose. Amen. I'm kind of like Ogden Nash. He said, as for beauty, I'm no great star. There are others more handsome by far. But my face, I don't mind it. I'm the one that's behind it. It's the folks out front that I jar. So you see, your face, you know, it's the visible part of you. It's what people see. Amen. It's what draws attention for better or for worse. Amen. But there's stuff inside of you that nobody sees. But without it, you'll die. And it all works in unity. It all works in unity. Amen. And worship creates unity in the church. Praise God. When we kind of slip out of space, it slips us back into it. Anybody ever had a disjointed shoulder or finger or some joint? Boy, that hurts. Amen. But it's not going to work until you pop it back in place. Amen. And we get some disjointed folks every now and then in the church. Amen. You kind of slip out of joint just a little bit, and we all kind of hobble until you get back in spot. Amen. And we're still going, but it ain't as smooth as it ought to be. Amen. Praise God. But all of a sudden, in the Holy Ghost service, and you snap back into place. And the body is unified. And the body goes on. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. We need to encourage one another. We need to encourage one another. Praise God. Anybody need encouraging now and then? Anybody want to be an encourager? Amen. Don't just wait for people to encourage you. You know how one of the best ways to get encouraged is to go encourage somebody else. Amen. Have you ever went down to the altar? I've done this and you've done this. Go down to the altar and you got some needs in your life and some problems in your life. But you go down there and you start praying with somebody else and you put your problems aside. And then when you get through praying and you've had a good prayer meeting and you turn around to find your problems and they're gone. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. That's the work of the Holy Ghost. That's why we're here. That's why we're here. Praise God. We encourage one another. This is beautiful. We read this verse to you in the beginning, and I didn't forget it. I'm just now getting back to it. He said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. We come here to get the word of God inside of us. We come to get the word of God inside of us. Amen. That's why we come here, folks. That's what we need. And when you sing, you're getting the Word of God inside of you. Amen. And when we preach, you're getting the Word of God inside of you. It's vital that we have that Word in us and that dwells in us, the Bible says, richly in all wisdom. And then the preaching gets into us. And then he talks about teaching and admonishing. Amen. That's part of being in church. Praise God. Amen. We need to be taught. Praise God. Do you know how to love God more? You know how to love God more? Know Him better. The better you know Him, the more you will love Him. And the best way to know God better is through His Word. Through teaching and through preaching, we get to know God better. And as we know Him more, we love Him better. Amen. So, and then the Bible talks about psalms and hymns and spiritual songs singing. Amen. We come here and we sing. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, the vocal qualities, it's good to have that. But, you know, you can sing unto the Lord. You can sing unto the Lord. Regardless, you may not have the greatest voice in the world, but that's not the most important thing. The fact is that you're singing. Amen. Somebody said one time in the Jewish culture, I don't know much about it, they said what we lack in vocal quality, we make up in volume. Whether they can sing or not, they just do. And they do it with their whole heart. On the other hand, the Bible says sing loud, and it does say sing skillfully. Amen. So that's in there too. Praise God. Now let me just say this. I like for everybody to sing whether you can carry a tune in a bucket or not. Does not matter. But if you can't carry the tune, don't get in the microphone. But go ahead and sing. I want you to sing. You ought to sing. You need to sing. Amen. But just don't get in the microphone. And don't get your feelings hurt if you don't get a special part. You know, some singing is a treat. Some singing is a treatment. Amen. But sing unto the Lord. You need to sing. Singing's important for you. Everybody needs to sing. Amen. Praise God. The Bible said singing. Amen. And hymns and songs, spiritual songs. Praise God. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. So that's service, isn't it? Amen. Somebody said we come to worship and we leave to serve. That's it. The third element of worship is service. Amen. Hopefully, God can deal with somebody's heart during a service. Amen. And do you get some inspiration to do something about problems. Not just talk about the kid in the neighborhood, but try to help the kid in the neighborhood. Amen. Praise God. I read one time about a young man. He was praying. Oh, he was all fired up. Man, he was fired up. He said, God, he said, I want to preach for you. I want to fill up vast stadiums with people and thousands of people come and be saved. He said, oh, I really want to do something for you, God. And the Lord said, you really want to do something for me? He said, oh, yes, God, anything, God. I'll do anything. He said, Widow Smith needs her refrigerator moved this afternoon. Amen. Wasn't what he had in mind. Amen. But you know what? That's service. Amen. Praise God. That's where solutions to problems are found. And guess what? The solution might be you. It might be you that God reveals in a service. You know, you could do this if you just would. Amen. And I know in a service there was a man that he was just a regular old saint of God. He wasn't anything phenomenal, outstanding, you know, just a plain old saint of God, just a great man of God, just faithful man of God in a service one time, and the Lord spoke to him, and somebody talked about bus ministry, and you know, and all of a sudden it clicked. He said, you know what? I can do that. I can talk to kids. I'm good at it. And so he said, he told Pastor, he said, I want to use that old church van out there. He said, I think I could get some people, some kids in that church van. And on the first Sunday, he not only filled it up, he filled it up twice. And he told the pastor, he said, you know that big church bus we got out sitting out there? He said, I believe I can fill that up. And so the pastor said, well, have at it, man. And he went out, and the next Sunday, big old 72-passenger bus, he filled it up. Filled it up. 72 kids, one man. Amen. Praise God. And then he told the pastor, he said, you know those big buses that you rent? Like Greyhound? He said, I can fill one of those buddies up too. And so they rented one. He filled it up. Matter of fact, he filled up four of them. And it all started because he was sitting in a service one day and the Holy Ghost got the talk and he said, I can do that. I can do that. Amen. One reason we come here, folks, is just so the Lord can give us a nudge and a direction that we can do. Amen. What can, and that ought to be a question on our mind. God, how can I serve you? I don't want to just be here and get something, but how can I serve you? What can I do? What can I do? How can I be a blessing to somebody? Amen. That's why we come here. That's why we come here. Amen. Is to let the Lord deal with you in your heart. Amen. Praise God. That's about mission, isn't it? How, that's about mission. Praise God. My time is gone. Let's stand together. I'm not through, but I'm going to stop. Amen. Shorter sermons. Shorter sermons. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. You perhaps have heard this illustration, but if you have, you're going to hear it again. And it'll be good the second time, or the third, or the fourth, or the fifth. Praise God. We used to have out in West Texas, and I'm sure you have around here, they have these cranes, sandhill cranes we call them, and they fly. And one thing, they do two things that's very notable. First of all, they fly in a V. And if you observe those cranes flying, what you'll notice is they'll be flying in this V, and all of a sudden this guy will peel out from the back, and he'll fly all the way up to the front, and he'll get in the front of all, the whole bunch, and then the one that's been leading, he'll fall back to the back. And they just repeat that process over and over and over again. You know why they do that? Because the point man is breaking resistance as he's flying, and he gets very weary. The others are benefiting by him flying on the point, but it's a hard place, and he gets very tired doing that. And so he'll drop back, and somebody else will take his place. Isn't that wonderful? And they don't fight over it. Amen. They get tired. They just slip out for a minute, and there's always somebody to slip right in their place. That's a wonderful, that's a beautiful spirit of cooperation. And you know what else they do while they're flying? They're always honking. Honk, honk, honk. Amen. And you know what the honking's about? It's encouraging one another. Boss up on the point saying, "Boy, my wings sure are getting tired." Honk, honk, honk. And Billy Bob back on the back says, "Man, I'm fresh as a daisy. Here I come." Amen. And he'll peel out and he'll fly up to the front and he'll slip in the slot and old boss will drop back to the back and he'll rest a little while and then he'll be ready to do it again. Amen. Praise God. And so in the house of God, you see, all of those things are part of service. Amen. Always somebody willing to help somebody else. Praise God. And so this is the body of Christ that we're all a part of here today. Why are we here? The first reason we're here is to worship God. Amen. He's our creator. He's our redeemer. He's our sustainer. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. And we're here to worship Him. The second reason we're here is to encourage our brothers and sisters to help carry their burden. Amen. And the third reason that we're here is to get an inspiration and a direction so that we can serve God in some capacity. Amen. We can serve God in some capacity. Just do something for the Lord. May not be a big thing. May be as simple as picking somebody up for church that doesn't have a ride. May be as simple as baking somebody a pie or cake to encourage them. Maybe as simple as saying a kind word. Maybe something as simple as taking time out for a little child to just rub their head and give them a word of encouragement and a smile. It might be something very simple, but it's all a part of service. It's all a part of service. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. So let the Lord speak to your heart this morning about something that you can do. I hope that your heart's already full. I hope that you've opened up through the worship this morning and God's ministered to you. And now then, out of that abundance of faith and that abundance of peace and that abundance of joy and spiritual blessing, you're just asking God for a way to help somebody and share what you've received today. Amen. Praise God. Lord, help me to be your hands. I want to be like Isaiah after seeing the glory of God. And first thing you saw was his unworthiness. But you touched him with a flame that purified his mouth and purified his heart. And then he heard a question, who will go? And he said, here am I, Lord. Send me. And you said, go and tell. Amen. Give us a